exalt you, Jesus.
We exalt thee. Ooh, we exalt thee.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Pastor Roy has already made mention of this, but good to see Darren and Felicia, our very own Felicia, the only one in the whole world like this one. And then good to see Aaron and Katie, Herod, and I might say the only one like her in the whole world. Our very own. Praise God. Praise God. We had a certificate here, and we had the wrong one, but we do have a certificate for Nicole Snyder. So we'd like for Nicole to come down. This is Brother Brad Todd's sister. God bless you, Nicole. Praise God. And you may be seated. What I want to do, let me first make reference to camp. Camp is going on all week long, starts tonight. I assume that we'll have a good number of you that'll be up there. We do have a good number of our people that are already up there. So if you look around, you see that the attendance is pretty slim. It's one time in the year that I feel good that attendance is slim, because I do like and I do encourage our people to go. So all of you that can go to camp, make sure that you go. I mentioned Friday night in our prayer meeting that I had not planned on going this year just because of a good number of health reasons. But I'm praying constantly for the camp. I'll be calling Brother Putnam maybe not every day, but almost every day. I'm going to call him this afternoon and encourage him. I believe in the camp. I believe it's good that all of God's people in the state of Wisconsin get together. I'd like to see that happen. In the Old Testament, God talked with Moses, and they established a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was when all of the tribes of Israel got together basically for fellowship. The 12 tribes of Israel, for the most part, each tribe lived an independent life of the other tribes. This is the reason why that they can trace their lineage. If you're from the tribe of Benjamin, you probably would have married somebody from the tribe of Benjamin. But once a year, the Feast of Tabernacles, and that is, they just kind of let everything down, and when they got together, nobody was from Madison, and nobody was from Oak Creek, and nobody was from Shawano or Sun Prairie. Just everybody was child of God. And they just celebrated Jehovah God. And it's good, even though we do not have a New Testament mandate to have a Feast of Tabernacles, it is good to go to the old tabernacle up at camp and just worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we all come together and worship God. Now, this month, Pastor Roy had instructed us that we were going to talk about miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. He preached a message to start this, and he entitled it, What's in Your Hand? No doubt about it, we need to see more miracles than we have seen in the past. Now, the message, or this is a Bible study. The Bible study I'm giving you this morning will be in two parts. One this Sunday. The next one will be next Sunday morning. So it'll be that today will be part one, and part two next Sunday morning. And I'm titling this Power and Authority. Power and Authority. And I hope that this message will clear up some confusion in a few people's mind concerning people who have not been baptized in Jesus' name, but who are greatly used of God. Now, I go first to Acts 1 and 8, and most of you can quote this, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the word power is used here. Now, this comes from a Greek word, dunamis. The word dunamis here means miraculous power. It means strength to work miracles. So if you saw a tornado coming and you were praying and all of a sudden the tornado just broke up and disappeared, you'd say, wow, this is dunamis power. You know, it's... Or if you were praying with someone that had a broken leg and all of a sudden they just walked away, that is dunamis power. But there is another word that's used and translated quite often in the King James Version, translated power, that means something different, even though it is very closely related. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word power here is taken from an entirely different Greek word, and it means authority. All authority is given unto me. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So today I want to talk about power and authority. Let's talk about using the power of God. How do we get the power? Well, Jesus instructed in Luke 24:49, before he ascended to heavens, he says, go into Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. So he wanted them to go, and he wanted them to wait until the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Ghost, would come and rest upon them. They were there, most people feel, 10 days, because the Feast of Pentecost came 50 days after the Passover. So when you see the word Pentecost, I want to simplify it by simply saying it really means 50th. And I guess you could say we go to this 50th church. In a true sense, though, Pentecost is making reference to what fell upon the believers at the Feast of Pentecost, and that was the Holy Ghost. So here we find the dunamis power of God falling upon these disciples. That day, Peter preached the first apostolic message, and he preached that Jesus Christ was Lord of all, and that he was ordained of God. He talked to them about the Christ that they crucified. He laid the blame on them. And they were convicted. They said in their hearts, what do we need to do about this? We'd like to make this right. Peter said, repent. This is Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, they continued on a daily basis to go to the temple, and they continued to allow the Spirit that had filled them to use them. So I think that I really have a great concern about the overall body of Christ, because so many churches are not praying the way they need to pray. You know, we're saying, well, we want miracles. Well, that's true, and we need miracles. And I will say this, that every church that repents and humbles itself, God begins to work among them. So we want to make sure that we're not guilty. We're talking about having miracles, but we can talk about it all we want to, but there's no real magic in the name of Jesus. You just can't say in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. There's no real hocus-pocus magic in the name. But it occurs as a result of a life that is affiliated and associated with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So 10 days they tarried, the Holy Ghost was poured out, and then what happened was they began to pray, or continue to pray, on a daily basis. The Lord added the first day 3,000 souls. So you talk about the dunamis power falling, converting people. But then they were all baptized too in Jesus' name. Now, they received that authority basically to use. They received the power, rather, and when they were baptized in Jesus' name, they received the authority to use that power. Now, that's basically what I want to talk about, and this will clear up, I think, some issues that some of you may be having when you see people that are outside of the true body of Christ, in other words, never been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost, believing God for miracles and seeing miracles take place. So we want to talk about using the power, but first let's talk about receiving the authority. In Acts, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 through 7, this records the first miracle that took place, and that is that Peter and John had, they were going up to pray. The Bible says, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he was taken there daily. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon them, upon him, and John said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Sometimes we think we have to have a whole lot of money to have a revival. Well, here are two broke people. I mean, they were busted, not nothing. And yet, they literally confused and turned the whole temple staff upside down. No money, none at all. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So basically now what's happened here is, like I say, now I need 2 weeks for this, so next Sunday morning we'll talk about the second part. They receive the power, the dunamis power. But Jesus Christ says, "All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me." So when they were baptized in Jesus' name, they actually received the authority to use the power. You follow what I'm saying? Now, it's necessary that we have the power, because sometimes, you know, we preach about, well, you have the authority to perform miracles because you have the name of Jesus Christ. Do I believe that? Yes. Do I believe just because you call on the name of Jesus Christ that miracles are going to happen? No. Because you may have the authority, but you don't have the power. You know, be like a policeman that walked up and he's using his badge as authority to arrest someone for a crime. The criminal sees that the policeman has no gun. He has no power. So he takes out running. You say, "In the name of the city of Madison," let's say, because you're a police authority, Jason is here, you can tell me how it goes. But at any rate, well, he just keeps on going, and you know, you can just say bang, bang all you want to, but he didn't feel anything. He's not going to stop. He just keeps going. You had the authority, but you didn't have the power to enforce. And sometimes we can preach authority, we can preach authority, and listen, I'm not opposed to that, because we need to do that and people need to understand. But you know, you can go bang, bang all you want to when you're saying in Jesus' name. You know, we're trying to cast out a devil. Come out of this person. Well, but do you have the power? You follow what I'm saying? So when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you take on the name of Almighty God. But what they did, they constantly prayed. They prayed every day. They sought the Lord. You know, I'm feeling more and more in leadership that I need to pray more than I've ever prayed before, because I need to see things. First, I need to see things in my own body. You need to see things. I've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you have, but I need to see more things happen. I have the authority to call on his name, because I have received his name. Acts 4 and 12, and when Peter summed this up, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So here we see that these men had been identified with the Lord. How do we identify ourselves? How do we receive the authority? Well, let's go to Romans, the sixth chapter. Romans, the sixth chapter, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. Now, basically what Paul is saying, that we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ when we're baptized in his name. And he said, so many of us means Paul plus all of the Romans. So here Paul is saying, now, here's how we identify ourselves with him. And then, of course, we continue that identity by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you can receive the Holy Ghost without being baptized in Jesus' name. We have an example in the scripture. Cornelius was a man that received the Holy Ghost. However, Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? And he commanded them. In other words, Cornelius, you have received the dunamis power, but you know what you need now? You need the authority to use this power. And you cannot use this power without taking on identification from God himself. And you get that by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? Now, let's go from there to Galatians 3. I love this short passage of scripture, but this really, really puts it in its proper perspective. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you look at the phrase put on Christ, it comes from a phrase like I put on my coat. In other words, you wear Jesus Christ. Like Jason getting ready for his job, he goes and puts his jacket on. Maybe he doesn't wear a jacket. Maybe only, but he wears a uniform that identifies him as a police. Well, he may be a detective or plainclothesman or something like that. But when I've seen him, he's all dressed up and he's got all these badges on him and all these handles and tasers and guns and all this loaded down. So what Paul is saying, that when we take on the name of Jesus Christ, we wear Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, you're not properly dressed until every day you put on Jesus Christ. Because when you go out in the world, it's Jesus Christ that gives you the authority to use this dunamis power that you have. But you can't go out there wearing Jesus Christ and yet not have the power. You go out there and say, well, I tell you what, I'm God's child now. I can perform miracles. Oh, can you? Well, you should be able to, yes. But have you actually prepared yourself by loading your guns, so to speak? You know? Just because you have your axe and your 238s doesn't mean that you're going to go out there and mow the enemy down. If you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, and yet you still have the authority. Let me tell you something. It just doesn't work. Now, the authority comes through the name. Let's just look at Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowing of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, who was raised, when he raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every knee that is named, and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come, and that, and have put on all, and have put all things under his feet. Pardon me. I'm just having a little trouble here. I'll get through this. You read up there, okay? And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now let's go to Galatians 3. I'm sorry, Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 13. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him all things might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So Jesus Christ was the visible form of the invisible God. That's why his name was called Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. Now, when we take on the name of Jesus Christ, with that name comes the authority to use the power of God. But it doesn't mean just because you're baptized in Jesus' name that you actually have the power of God in you. Now, you may have received the Holy Ghost, and when you receive the Holy Ghost, yes, the power is there. But you have to have faith to believe that God's Spirit's going to operate through you. This is the reason why that some people receive the Holy Ghost. They never do a thing for God. They just, you can't get them to believe God for miracles or anything great to happen. Whereas other new converts can receive it, and before you know it, I mean, they're out setting the woods on fire, so to speak. The name identifies the blood. Now, let's just talk about this. The thing about the name of Jesus Christ, you know, the Bible says the blood takes away our sins. Isn't that right? Now, the name of Jesus identifies the blood. Just like my name is Grant. That identifies my bloodline, so to speak. You know. So, if someone asks, you know, is this guy John? Is this Emory Grant's boy? Well, he's got the same last name. Probably somewhere they're related. So we do believe that the blood of Jesus Christ takes away sin. Well, what about the name of Jesus? There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So how does the name of Jesus fit into this? Because the name of Jesus identifies the blood that actually takes away the sin. So here we have a person that's about to go down in Jesus' name. And you look at that person because his sins are remitted in baptism in the name of Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus, you are identifying the blood that was shed on Calvary that is able to take your sins away. See, so if you're baptized and you don't use the name of Jesus, you haven't identified the blood. And no sins are remitted then if there's no identification of the blood. But when you use the name of Jesus, you identify the blood, takes away your sins, you associate yourself with Jesus Christ, you take on his name, and when you take on his name, guess what? You then have the authority. My wife and I will be married 55 years this coming November. I'm not thinking very well today, and I almost forgot November. She's not in here, is she? I just said that to tease her because, I mean, I would never forget that, you know. I don't think so. but nevertheless, you know, she took my name on. And when she took my name on, legally, that gives her the authority to sign documents and such. So she has my authority to do certain things that if she was just a live-in partner, she wouldn't have. You follow what I'm saying? So, Jesus' blood took our sins away. And with that comes the authority to use his power. Now, I said with that comes his authority to use his power. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21 through 23... Here we find, let me just go there. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. I notice he's using in my name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now the whole problem is, it's so difficult to think that there will be people that when it comes time for judgment that have performed great miracles, they had the dunamis power, and they may even use the name of Jesus, but they had no authority to use it. The authority was never given to them because there was never any association. See, when he says, I never knew you, the phrase never knew you is taken from the same phrase that you see in the book of Matthew when it speaks of Jesus Christ and Mary that was to have Jesus Christ and Joseph that took her to be his bride. And the Bible says that he would have had married her, but he never knew her until such a time that she brought forth the first, her firstborn son, Jesus. And so you can go around using the name of Jesus Christ, and you may have the dunamis power, but if you have never identified yourself with Jesus, I don't understand somebody that wants to use Jesus' name when I pray, when I eat, when I go to bed, you know, all my prayers. And then when you say, would you like to be baptized in Jesus' name, just like everybody in the book of Acts was baptized, I say, oh, no, not me. Mm-mm. I don't want to be identified with that Jesus' name bunch. So you can understand somewhat then when people will enter into God's presence and the Lord will say, look, I've got some questions I want to ask you. And they say, no, wait a minute. We just want to validate something. We cast out devils in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did mighty, wonderful works in your name. Oh, yeah, you had the dunamis power, and you had the faith. But who gave you the authority to go and do all of this? I never gave you that authority. You were never baptized in my name. So I never had that intimacy with you that I wanted to have with you. Could you feature the Lord saying, well done, to someone that would say, oh, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that Jesus name stuff. I've been told that many times. Oh, you're Jesus only. Have you ever been told that? Jesus, you're Jesus only. I said, no, wait a minute. I talked with a local minister. I said, you say that I'm Jesus only? Yeah, let me ask you some questions now. Now, you say that the Godhead consists of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let me ask you a question. Now, you say we're Jesus only, so we don't believe in the Father, we don't believe in the Holy Ghost. In your church, do you teach that it's absolutely necessary to receive the third person of the Godhead, that's what he, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in order to be saved? I have yet to have a minister tell me that they believe that you had to receive the Holy Ghost in order to be saved. Now you say we're Jesus only, yet we teach our people and instruct our people, according to Scripture, that they must receive the third person, as you call it, of the divine Trinity in order to be saved. So we teach that you must receive him. You say no, yet you turn around and call us Jesus only. And you say that all you have to do to be saved, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to receive the Holy Ghost. It sounds like to me that if you're going to brand somebody as Jesus only, you need to say, I'm Jesus only, because I don't believe in that Holy Ghost stuff. But I can't feature the Lord giving someone a crown of righteousness and him saying, well done, even after they said, look, I cast out devils. I did mighty wonderful works. I used that dunamis power. I prayed. I sought God. What about Jesus' name? Weren't you the one that looked at that apostolic preacher and said, oh, don't want to have anything to do with that Jesus' name stuff? Oh, yeah, they had the power, but they didn't have the authority to be doing what they were doing. This is the reason why in some churches you'll find an operation of spiritual gifts, and yet they don't practice baptism in Jesus' name. They have absolutely no authority to be doing this. They may have the power, they may have the faith, but they don't have the authority. Now, this may be a very difficult pill for some of you to swallow. But you know what you have to do? You have to take all the scripture. The scripture does not contain contradictions. You got to take all the scripture and you have to use all the scripture. You see, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the reason why God continues to use you because you are in the process of being born again. You just need to go on and be baptized in Jesus' name so that you receive the authority to use the dunamis power that was given to you at your Pentecostal, in your Pentecostal experience. Now, I need another lesson for this. See, the thing about it, you need the authority, but on the other hand, if you've been given the authority by being baptized in Jesus' name, you need the power. Because if you have the authority to do it, and somehow over a period of time, you just kind of sit down and you haven't prayed, you've relaxed, and you haven't maintained a consistent prayer life, and you never see anything great happen in your life, and there's no real dunamis power, then do you think you're a whole lot better off? Maybe I should say come judgment day. That's why Jesus said not everyone that says Lord, Lord is going to enter in. Because you need the power. Okay, we're going to pick this up next Sunday morning. I'm sorry that I got a little bit confused here in reading. I am having some physical problems that causes this, but maybe I'll do better next week. Hey, I think we really need to take a look at this subject. Because it'll clear up a lot of confusion. Because you see people out there doing great things. You say, wait a minute. They're doing great things. Hey, listen, we got the Bible. If I didn't have the Bible, I would become most confused as to who's born again and who's not. But the thing about it is, I have the Bible. And I can't do anything but preach the Bible. I can't do anything but believe the Bible. And I believe that if you want to walk on streets of gold someday, you need to receive the dunamis power, but you also need to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you need to have the authority to use that power. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Notice what happens in Luke 9, verse 1 and 2. I'd like for you to stand with me at this time, and we want our praise singers to come. Luke, the 9th chapter, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. He called the 12 disciples together, and he gave them, what did he give them? Power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now this is necessary for us to understand. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he gave them power and authority. Now we know that the Holy Ghost was not yet given at this time. But we know that Jesus Christ was sending these men out so that they could experience what would happen after Pentecost. This is the way you have to do it. He was mentoring them and training them. Now, inasmuch as it's necessary to receive the authority, I want to make sure that I have the power. I want the power of God moving through me. I don't question the authority because I know I took on his name. I know I have that authority. But I need every day a filling, refilling of God's Holy Spirit. As we bring this service to a close, If you'd like more of the power of God, why don't you just come and stand over here on the right? Come down here. Or if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, why don't you come and stand down here also? If you need a healing for your body, did you know that Jesus Christ can heal you? Come on down and stand over here on your left. Come on down right now. Come on down. Don't hesitate. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, if you have some problems and needs, why don't you come just stand right in front of the pulpit? Now, we have people that want to work with you, that will work with you, that will pray with you about your need.
Standing amazed.